Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Moonwalk Talk.
All your energy into your finger. Throw it out. Fire.
Welcome to Moonwalk Talks. My name is Jenkins. I am what some folks would call a rapper, but my mom's very, very disappointed in me. follow me on Twitter, please, @WhoJenkins. And if you'd like to hear some of my stuff, check out Jenkins.net. That's where my music is. Or you can go to YouTube.com/WhoJenkins and you can see some of my videos and stuff. Subscribe, you know, I gotta throw those plugs out there. Moonwalk Talks is a podcast that I've been doing. This is like the fourth one, I think, to where it's just talking about Michael Jackson, anything Michael Jackson, like getting some of the behind-the-scenes stories, explaining some of the things about, some of the projects that Michael has done and trying to go into detail about those things. Here I am in my new studio space in Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm here with my good friend, Kristen. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How's
That's
it
good.
Going? Hi, everybody.
Lil Barteezy. Do you see my notes where it says... says Lil Barteezy
in
the notes.
Yeah. Featuring Lil Barteezy.
Yeah, I have to introduce Kristen and then introduce you as Lil Barteezy.
That's me, Lil Barteezy.
Yeah, so we're gonna try her out as the new sidekick and see what happens, and
maybe.
we'll just roll with it. See what happens.
I mean, yeah. It's like an initiation. We'll see what goes.
Yeah. All right, so I want to ask you first, since this is gonna be your first time on the Moonwalk Talks podcast. What is your first memory of Michael Jackson?
Wow, that is really tough.
Okay, well, that's dead air. That is dead air. It's like,
well, you give me a heads up. It's a lot. I mean, my oldest memory, I guess, would be my first memory would actually be seeing Captain EO at Disneyland when
seeing
I was like
Captain
5 years
EO.
Old.
Okay, all right.
So back when it was in its big age and there was actually a line to get in to see it. So.
Well, that's funny because this episode is about Captain EO.
Is it?
Oh, you
perfect.
Didn't, yeah.
You, all right, I totally passed.
You already knew that. what is your favorite Michael Jackson song?
Gosh. I want to say... What's the last song at the end of Captain EO?
That is Another Part of Me.
Another Part of Me, that'd be one of them. Another one I really like is In the Closet. Don't ask me why,
because
I really don't know.
That is definitely one of them. I don't know. It's hard for me to say top tens when you're talking about Michael Jackson songs.
When I can't even do like a top, I can't do a top 10 with Michael, but if I had to, it'd be In the Closet up there. And Another Part of Me.
I have to really think about it. Like, as far as, like, the top... Because I can say my favorite Michael Jackson song, definitely. And I can definitely say which ones I would put in the top 10, but then I'd be like, oh, they'd probably start to spill
over. You can't put them in order.
Yeah.
Like, they're all tied for, like, number 2.
And
then there's no number 1.
Yeah.
And then you just got...
They would start spilling over, and you're
yeah.
like, well, that's actually... You said 15 for your top 10, so...
It's like, wait, so can we just bump this up to top 20? I mean,
yeah.
That'd be so much easier.
So as we're doing the Moonwalk Talks, this is only my fourth Moonwalk Talks episode, and so I'm still trying to get in. I'm trying to get in the groove of how to actually structure this and do a podcast and everything. So you know, we're trying different things. You know, I'm trying different approaches to the formula for the podcast. Mm-hmm. So. I guess this time we're going to do something about MJ in the news. It's like, it was funny, I was telling Kristen about it earlier. I was like, yeah, we should do something like a news thing or something. She's like, well, the news is that he's dead. So,
yeah,
can't really do about
yeah.
what MJ's doing. But his spirit and music is still alive.
His
still
legacy alive. Is what we'll say.
Yeah,
his franchise or other.
And it's crazy because, like, even though he, you know, he passed away 5 years ago, oh man, I don't remember if I talked about going to his memorial podcast.
I was
going to
say you did to me, but
yeah.
I don't think it was on your podcast.
Man, I don't know if I talked about it. I don't remember when the last podcast was because it's been a while since I did one of these. So I think I'll just talk about it anyway. I just talk
yeah,
about it. Who cares?
Ahead.
Even
Why
when
not?
We talked
yeah,
about
I mean,
it last
we're
time.
We're already here.
Yeah. Well, I lived in North Hollywood, California. Mm-hmm. And so Michael Jackson is buried in Forever. Nope. No, it's Forest Lawn, yeah. Forest Lawn Cemetery in Glendale, right? Yeah.
California, obviously.
Yeah, Glendale, California. And so we, I had a couple friends come down from Tulsa, and they went with went with me to it, and it was insane. It was like, first, you know, you pull into the cemetery, and you just see cars. Like, I've been to Michael Jackson's tomb a few times. Like, I would just go there sometimes. I'll just get drunk and go there. And then
it sounds like the way to be.
Yeah, and like, there was cars everywhere. Like, they had they had staff that was like posted up telling cars to go different directions and park. Wow. And not park places. It was like a concert already. It was like,
that's
and so
crazy.
We had to park like so far away, and then we had to walk like, I don't know, like a mile and a half just to get close to the tomb. And as soon as you start walking towards the tomb, you just see people, just a sea of people. It was so many people. And the one thing that was really cool about it was you didn't see just one type of person. Mm-hmm. There was old people, there was babies, there was kids, teenagers, and there was not one color of person. There was white people, black people, Asian, Mexican, everything. Like, there was, like, you could not see one type of person, and they were all just like peppered together. It was insane. And so, what was that?
I was just going to say that. That's what I love about Michael.
Yeah.
That's what I love about Michael Jackson is everybody loves Michael Jackson.
Yeah, like, it's like you were,
it doesn't
just
matter
one person. Yeah.
Where you came from, how old you are. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone knows Michael, and everyone at least appreciates the magic that he was.
Very true. And so, as soon as, like, we got there, I guess a little bit late, but I guess, no, kind of right on time, because as soon as we got there, they did the moment of silence. And by this time, like, everybody had kind of, like, formed, like, this box shape, like, around these people that they had a couple of Michael Jackson impersonators, and mm-hmm. then they had, like, I don't know if he was a pastor or what, but then they also
probably
had, like, these girls, these choir singers that were dressed all in red.
Wow.
And then they were there. And then they did a moment of silence, and then they asked everybody to sing Man in the Mirror. And, man, I mean, everybody was singing this song. It was so great. Like, I was just, like, walking through the crowd taking video of people just, like, everybody was singing it. And it was so fantastic. And, like, it took, like, the whole area was probably about a block wide. And from the beginning of where people were standing to the end of where people were standing, where it was, like, where his tomb was, people had brought blankets and pictures and paintings and drawings and thank you notes and flowers. And, oh, man, I mean, it was
amazing.
There was so much stuff just everywhere.
I really want to know what happens to that stuff afterwards.
Yeah, me too.
I like, sadly fear that it probably just gets thrown away, but I really wish that something would happen with it.
Yeah, like because some of that stuff, I mean, like, there were these quilts that were like, I think it was like maybe from some people in Japan or something like that, and they made this quilt. Every single tile had something individual from a person. So it was like I don't know, probably like 100 different tiles mixed into this quilt. I don't know how many, really. I might be exaggerating, but individual tiles, and then like they just quilted them all, or, you know, sewed them all together and made a blanket out of it. And it was massive. And then there was like this one painting that just had like this golden feathery like fringe stuff around it. And it was big. It was like, man, I don't know, like 4 foot high, you know,
like a,
three across,
like,
something
like a straight up portrait.
Yeah,
like
it was big. And so what I've heard is that they take all the stuff, they set it inside the tomb for a little while, and then they, I don't know what they do with it after that. So
I'm curious.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could, like, had enough money to create a Michael Jackson fan museum and, you know,
that,
show all this
give
stuff.
Give it time. Someone will.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be cool if you did it, but I'm sure someone will eventually.
Well, Lady Gaga was supposed to be, you know, buying the estate. I think I talked about that on another one of the podcasts. But
I hope she would.
She was supposed to be getting with the children, MJ's children, and kind of bringing Neverland back together. But
that'd
I haven't
be
heard
awesome.
Anything before, because apparently she's the celebrity that has the most MJ memorabilia, from what I've heard.
Wow, nah, I believe it.
Yeah,
her biggest influences, she's always said, were Queen and Michael Jackson.
Nice.
So I believe it.
Yeah, but it was fantastic. in California or in Los Angeles, like, all day there was just a bunch of different Michael Jackson stuff going on the day that he died. Like, I went to go see a couple of Michael Jackson impersonators. He wasn't really good. I forget what his name was. It's probably best that I forgot his name.
Yeah, it's
shouldn't,
probably good.
Shouldn't
yeah.
make fun of him on the podcast.
Let's not put him on blast.
Yeah, wasn't
He's
really
just
good,
doing
though.
His job.
Yeah.
It's his hobby.
Like, his dancing was on point, but the voice was just so bad. It's like, at that point, it's like, your voice is that bad when you're doing Michael, just lip sync it.
Just lip sync and just pull a drag queen and just lip sync.
Yeah,
like, they don't even try to sing.
No,
they know
there's no reason. It's like, if you got the moves down, just and like, he didn't have a band or anything. It was just like him and two dancers. I don't
know. No, it's better when they lip sync. I don't like when the impersonators actually sing on their own.
Well, there's an impersonator that we went to go see. I'm friends with him now, but we went to go see him for the Moonwalker reflection of Michael thing or whatever. Now, he was pretty decent. Like, it was actually a pretty good one. And there was another guy. God, I forget what his name was as well. Brandon Jones is the one I'm talking about for the Moonwalker Reflection of Michael tour. He's really good. Mm-hmm. And then there was another one. He sounded almost perfect. Like, he was real, real close to MJ's voice.
Wow.
But his dance moves weren't all there. So it's hard to find that full package. Yeah. But yeah, it was a fantastic time. That was back in June, so that was a while ago. I probably should be doing these more.
It was a while
ago.
It's kind of old news.
Yeah. Okay, well, so for the news, we'll just get through these since I talk so much about the memorial. So Thriller is coming in 3D next year, 2015. The director, John Landis, actually came. He hasn't said much about it, but he just said, yeah, we're going to release it probably on Blu-ray in 3D.
Awesome.
Or maybe in theaters. And if that does well, then a lot more things are probably going to come from just Thriller. They're talking about doing a video game, maybe.
What?
Yeah, so it's like, if that does well, then apparently there'll be more. Also, the Motown 25 DVD is now available. That's the first time that Michael Jackson did the moonwalk. And premiered Billie Jean. Also, this is like the first time in a long time he got back with his brothers, the original Jackson 5, including Jermaine, to do a medley of songs. And it was pretty fantastic. There's some funny stuff in that one. I love it. I've watched it a million times. I get real drunk and watch it. It's just it's so funny. It's like, I could do a whole, well, not probably a whole podcast, but I could talk about how Michael showed up them dudes so bad on that. It was just so funny.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, like, when they do, like, when they would do those reunion things where all the other, they were all grown up and Michael was still Michael. And they were just kind of like,
they just weren't
his brothers.
Yeah. They're like,
they were just,
they're like,
there.
Well, there's the other guys that kind of sing with Michael sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's available now. Apparently they have it as a one disc. You can just get like just the original thing. And then they have like a six disc one.
Wow. That's a big leap.
Yeah. That has like a bunch of different stuff on it. I don't really know, but I don't know. I didn't like it because it's pretty pricey. It's $80, and that's for the six disc. And then it's like $170 for another one. I don't know. Yeah, it's like, I just want to spend like,
that's like, you know, a video game.
Yeah, I want to spend like $15 and then get just, you know, the Jackson and Michael Jackson part of it, and you know,
that's crazy.
Also, Forbes list has named Michael Jackson the top earning dead celebrity of 2014. He earned $140 million. He beat Elvis. Elvis was second, and he beat Charles Schulz. Charles Schulz, that you know, the creator of Peanuts.
Ah,
yeah. Also, Michael Jackson, the Escape album. It received three nominations from the Soul Train Awards. It got Song of the Year and Best Collaboration for Love Never Felt So Good, and Album of the Year. I don't know if it won yet. I haven't watched it, so.
I didn't realize Soul Train had an award.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
Dang. I wasn't aware of that. I didn't even know that was still around. I just remember it from that episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like, I just remember
watching it when I was a kid. So I was like, and they were playing hip-hop music.
I only ever watched it when TV shows, the characters in the TV shows would go on Soul Train. Like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I remember that episode, yes.
That was a really good episode.
Yeah. All right. Last thing in the MJ news. It's old news, but The Remember the Time book, it's a book that was written by Michael Jackson's bodyguards. they were his bodyguards for a certain period of time.
For a couple years. Yeah. In the 2000s.
They were his bodyguards for the 2000s, near the end of his life. So they wrote a book talking about just their time with Michael Jackson. I read through it, and it was actually pretty interesting. Like, I don't like reading Michael Jackson books that aren't written by Michael Jackson or somebody close to him. Like, I've read, you know, the Michael Jackson Moonwalker book and Jermaine Jackson's You Are Not Alone. Both of them, it's like, the whole thing with, like, Michael Jackson, well, I'll talk about that later. But it's weird, you know, you can only believe so much. You don't really know. It's like, nobody knows except for Michael and those people. So, I thought it was cool. I thought it was a good book. I enjoyed reading it. It showed, like, a part of Michael that you didn't really know too much about, because nobody really cared about Michael during that period.
That's true.
They were just kind of like, Michael, whatever.
It's like, it's that guy in the tabloids. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Nobody really paid too much attention to him. Yeah, he was still super famous, and people were still...
He was still Michael, but not high priority.
Yeah, he wasn't putting out albums. He wasn't putting out videos or anything, so... Yeah, I thought it was a good book. Check it out if you get a chance. Everybody, you know, like, I heard a few things about people saying it was a money grab or whatever. But apparently all of the money is going to charity. They're not making any money from it, so.
Wow, that's extremely surprising.
Yeah. All right, so now we're going to actually, let's get into what the episode is really about. We're going to talk about Captain EO.
The cosmos, a universe of good and evil, where a small group struggles to bring freedom to the countless worlds of despair. A ragtag band led by the infamous Captain EO.
My favorite.
Her favorite. So Captain EO is, it was a Disneyland, Disney World attraction. It premiered on September 12th, 1986, in Walt Disney World, Epcot Center, and it ran for years before shutting down in 1997. It reopened again in 2010 after Michael Jackson died. The executive producer was none other than the one of the most famous directors of all time, George Lucas. Star Wars, of course, duh, everybody knows him from that. And then it was directed by Francis Ford Coppola. Francis Ford Coppola did Godfather movies. That's what he was mainly known for. Okay, yeah, Captain EO. And Captain EO, the EO actually stands for, it's like a short form of Eos, the Greek goddess of dawn. I don't know what the Greek goddess of dawn does, but...
Yeah, I don't know what that has to do with Michael, but...
It came up by Francis Ford Coppola. He thought it was a cool name. So, Captain EO, it ran from 1986 through 1996, and then it shut down, and it was replaced by Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Yes.
Yep. So, what was your first... tell me your first experience seeing Captain EO.
I saw it... early night, but right around when they stopped showing it, so around like 95-ish, we went with just a family trip to Disneyland, and that was my favorite ride, the whole park. Like, I would make my dad, after every other ride, he'd be like, all right, what do you want to do next? I'd be like, I want to go see Captain EO again. And I was a total wuss as a kid, so the whole spider lady and everything would scare the heck out of me.
So you would just go to scare yourself every, you know,
yeah,
30
and
minutes.
And then, you know, jam out. Because the songs, obviously. Yeah. But no, it got to the point where my family would go off and go on rides, and my dad would be forced to sit through it again because I just wanted to watch it over and over again. And then at some point, I believe they had it as a TV special, and a friend of ours recorded it on VHS for us, and I would just watch that constantly.
Because Captain EO has never been released on VHS, Laserdisc, DVD, or Blu-ray. Nope. So... oh, they need to release it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we need to like start one of those like change.org petitions. Like all those other people that are talking about like charities and
like,
saving SeaWorld.
Save the world.
Save
like,
the
no.
whales. No.
Save Captain
EO,
on
you Blu-ray.
Son of a bitch.
Right now. We need this. Everyone sign it. Let's do this.
Yeah.
We'll have the link at the end of the podcast.
www. you, Disney. Anyway, the first time I saw Captain EO, well, I watched it on YouTube the first time I saw it because I was living in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, like, to be honest, like, I've always loved Michael Jackson and I've always been into him, but I didn't, like, I was really into his music. I really didn't get too much into what he did or, you know, all the extra special stuff. I was just kind of like, I love his music. I think he's amazing. He's my idol. He's my favorite person in the world. But, you know, it's like, oh, he did a ride. Yeah, I'd love to ride it, but I didn't really know what Captain Neo was. I just knew that he had a ride. And so once he died, I just got like, because I always thought I was going to meet the guy. So I was like, I just ask him whatever I want to when I meet him. Mm-hmm. But never happened. So after that, when he died, I had to just like, kind of like just dig. I just keep digging more into like knowing the man. And so that's when I found out about Captain Neo. So just like the month that he died, I found out that he about Captain Neo. And I was like, I watched it on YouTube. I was like, that's pretty cool. It's like, too bad I'll never get to see it on, you know, in Disneyland, you know. And then funny enough, we moved to California and we moved to Los Angeles that January 2010. And then they open it in February of 2010.
Amazing.
And so like just like the third month we were there, we get passes and I get to go see Captain Neo. And so I was like, it was amazing.
It was magical, right?
Yeah. And it was so magical. Cool because like when people were there because it just opened, so people were actually watching it, you know?
Right. They're like, actually paying attention.
Yeah, and it, like people, like when Michael would come on screen, like, oh my God!
Right.
Woo! You know, it's like everybody just kind of like get real into it, and you know, it was really fun. They had merchandise, and you know, people wanted to see it. It's like it was packed every single time, and yeah, it was good, like the first time that I got to see it.
I got to see it because I went to visit you guys last summer for my birthday, and it was not that same experience.
No, yeah. Unfortunately, Captain EO...
It went down real fast.
It died off, yeah. It's like the, you know, as it should. You know, it's a dated presentation.
Extremely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it's not really going to hold the attention of kids nowadays. No. It's like, it really was only there for the fans and to, you know, kind of...
Acknowledge
his death, yeah. And so... So, understandable, still upsetting. And so, it lasted between, like, with the first opening, it was between 1986 and 1996, and it reopened in 2010, and it just shut down recently. It just shut down.
Yep. Before I made it back out there.
Yep. Here it says it shut down on July 4th.
Oh, that's cute, because, you know, I went, like, 2 months later.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Now they kept saying that like they weren't shutting it down and weren't shutting it down,
right?
But we know we just knew that they were you know just kind of like trying to make sure that the Michael Jackson people weren't getting angry at them. So
they just didn't want
fallout. Yeah, exactly. They so far they replaced it with the Guardians of the Galaxy preview.
Right now it's actually that Big Six Hero thing.
Okay.
Big Hero Six. What is it called? Something like that. Something with the big marshmallow dude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It looks like a good movie, but
it looks like a good movie, which we'll probably
it's
go
not
see.
Michael Jackson,
we'll
yeah.
probably go see it, but it's not Michael Jackson. I mean,
let's see. Like the first time, because like the first time I went to Disneyland, I was 14, and they didn't have Captain EO there. They had Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Right.
And I thought that was the coolest thing in the freaking world.
That was cool.
You know?
Although I have a huge phobia of snakes, and they would have that big snake that jumps out like it's going to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't end well.
Yeah. But yeah, I didn't even know. Like I just remember seeing Captain EO commercials when I was a kid, like seeing Michael Jackson on a Walt Disney commercial and
right.
the Walt Disney World commercial, and I was like, that'd be so cool to see. But you know, when I turned 14, I was, you know, worried about other things, so I didn't really...
You were too cool for that.
Yeah, I was too cool for, you know, Captain EO.
I was too cool for Disneyland.
Whoa. But for those that don't know about what Captain EO is, Captain EO is... You want to tell the story of Captain EO?
No, I can't.
You can't?
No.
It's easy. Captain is...
Okay, so basically, apparently... So Captain EO was a... What was he exactly? Like,
he was
just
captain.
Like... He was a space captain of a ship... That was run by some sort of organization where they had missions.
Because he did have a boss.
Yes, he did have a boss who yells at him. But they were apparently looking for something called the Dark World, the Dark Planet.
Yep.
And they got lost.
And because his mission is to bring
light.
Yeah, bring light to dark, evil planets, cultures, whatever it would be. So he goes throughout the universe, going to these planets and trying to... save them with the power of music.
And of course they give him that great mission with the not so best crew
for
a ship.
The ragtag band.
The ragtag band, i.e., you know, puppets.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, Hooter.
That's what I'm going to put Hooter. In right there. I'm put in right there. There's Hooter. Hooter!
Hooter! There was Hooter, and there was Fuzzball, which was pretty much just there to show off 3D and have him fly in your face.
And to have
and he was adorable.
And to have a cute merchandise thing to sell.
Just,
they're like, let's make the
animal.
Cutest thing in the world because
exactly,
kids are going to want that.
No one's going to want to buy Hooter.
Hooter!
They're going to want Fuzzball.
Yeah.
But basically, they're heading towards the planet and get lost and end up finding the planet, but being attacked at the same time. They crash land and end up confronting the, what would you call her?
She is the Dark Queen.
The Dark Queen. Let me
see what her official name is.
I don't know what her official name is. I just called her the Spider Lady when I was a kid. She looks kind of spidery.
With the claws. Supreme Leader.
The Supreme Leader of the Dark Planet is who they find, and their mission is to bring light to her. And free her from her darkness.
Yeah, and so what happens is that they end up getting chased, and then they end up crashing the ship. And then while they're out searching for the Supreme Leader, they get caught by the Supreme Leader's henchmen, and they bring her to the Supreme. Or they bring them to the Supreme Leader, and then she tries to capture him or whatever. But then he breaks out in a song and. Does this really cool dance, turns everybody into...
Because that's what you do when you're held captive.
Well,
you break out into song.
Well, yeah.
And then, you know, problem solved.
Duh. And so, through the power of song and dance, he brought light to this world. And then, you know, it's all happy and smiles. Everybody's good. And then they take off into the distance. So that's pretty much the simple story of Captain EO.
What is the actual runtime for the whole thing?
17 minutes.
17 minutes, okay.
And it's the most, like... I guess dollar for dollar, dollar per minute pricing, it's at the time was one of the most expensive or the most expensive thing ever made at clocking in almost 2 million per minute.
Oh, I believe it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, because I think it was like 1.7 per minute, 1.7 million per minute.
Because at that time, they used the top special effects.
Yeah.
Like
At that time,
it looked so real.
Let's talk a little, like, I don't really have it planned, but I was thinking about it when we were watching it. Like, let's talk about what we, like, a theory about Captain EO. Like, because apparently he does have a boss.
Right.
And.
Apparently he does not do his missions well.
Yeah, because the dude was mad at him.
Yeah, he was mad at him before he even started.
Yeah, so it's like, and he also said, don't mess this one up. So
yeah, exactly.
What did he mess up last time?
My headcanon for this situation is probably, apparently, I'm guessing, I think is his father or mother was a high-ranking general or major in whatever this force is that they are.
Could be.
And he was supposed to live up to those expectations. But something always goes wrong.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, you know, he has Hooter on his crew.
Yeah, I mean,
so
those people don't seem very able.
Yeah, it's not like a full military force there. Like, they were just kind of the ragtag. Like maybe those were Captain EO's friends before he became a captain.
Yeah.
And then, he demanded they be on his crew.
They all went to the same, academy.
They went to the academy together,
yeah,
exactly.
And he was an outcast.
They rode on his
different.
Curtails because he was so-and-so captain or general admiral so-and-so's kid. So he got a free ride, and they kind of coasted with him.
And they probably had one of those scenes to where, like, he's Hooter's walking through the cafeteria and somebody trips him and he's like,
right.
Don't do that.
It's
like, that's my friend. Yeah.
I'm going to tell my dad.
And then like, it's the sports jocks and they're all
right,
like,
exactly.
They're like, hey man, what are you going to do about it? And he's
I'm going to tell my dad.
I'm going to do this. You know?
And that's when he ends up being homeschooled for the rest of the academy. But still, that's always been my headcanon for it, is that he has to live up to his mother or father's expectations because they were a big deal in the same force. So something always just goes wrong in his missions.
Let's talk a little bit about the grand opening ceremony.
Okay.
I think I was talking to you about it the other night. We went out to
you
the
started
bar.
To, but I didn't want you to spoil it, so
yeah.
I told you to stop.
Yeah, so, but it was so funny. I got real drunk. It's funny because, like, that's going to be a running gag on this. It's like,
right.
Oh, you got real drunk and you watched this. Yeah, I got real drunk and I watched it, and it was really funny. It was like, it was real 80s. It was real 80s.
And shoulder pads and big hair everywhere.
Yeah, and it was held at Walt Disney World. And because I think that's where it opened first. I should probably fact check that. I'm pretty sure it opened up first at Walt Disney World. And then they had like this big ceremony with all these 80s stars. And I guess they had it was a television special going on. It was hosted by Patrick Duffy.
Of course it was.
Oh, I forgot to write down the other girl's name. But they were both from, man, that one show, like One Step or something. I don't know. I don't remember what it was.
Step by Step?
Maybe.
Day by Day?
Had Suzanne Summers in it?
Yes, that's Step by Step.
I think that's the girl from there.
Step by Step.
I don't know. I'm not well versed in the 80s, okay? I was a baby. Anyway.
I know way too much about the 80s, and I was born in 88, so that's no excuse. You just apparently had a life, and I did not.
I had a life. I was a baby. Paying bills and shit.
All right. Anyway. So I was just raised by parents who were stuck in the 80s. Okay?
Yeah. All right. And so there was a whole bunch of people that showed up to this, and it was a whole bunch of 80s stars. It's like I saw John Ritter, O.J. Simpson back before people hated him.
Pre-Bronco.
Yeah. I mean, and then the star showed up. Angelica Houston showed up.
Of course.
And there was just a whole bunch of other people that I personally don't know. I'm sure that they're famous in their own right. And I'm sure they were really famous in the 80s,
obviously.
You know? But, you know, I was like, I don't know. I don't really know them that well. And so, but they, so many of them just showing up. They had bands that played. They had Starship that played, Belinda Carlisle, Moody Blues, and Robert Palmer. They all played sets during, for the opening or whatever. Nice. So it was a massive opening. Like, this was one of the, it just seemed like one of the biggest openings for anything ever.
Like, it wasn't just like some movie premiere.
Yeah.
Like, it was a full on event.
Yeah. Like, I remember when they opened Star Tours, the new Star Tours, like, it was a long line. It's like you get there and like the line was long. You had to wait almost 3 hours. But, you know, Angelica Houston wasn't there.
Right.
It's like Robert Palmer wasn't there. They
O.J. Simpson wasn't there. And that was back when people cared that O.J. Simpson was there and didn't fear.
And so the openings that they have now is like, I don't know. To me, that, like, looking at it was massive. It was an hour long TV broadcast. They had anybody that was there. But the funny thing was, you know who didn't show up?
Who? Hooter?
Michael Jackson.
Of course he did.
Because
he ain't got time.
There's
for
no
that.
Way. There's no way he could have shown up there.
There's so much other things going on.
Yeah, I'm sure,
like,
he was working.
There's no way.
It was 1986, so I'm sure he's working on Bad.
Right.
Because Bad came out in 1988, and way too busy. And plus, how could Michael Jackson show up to that? It's like,
right?
Because it wasn't only all those famous people. It was also just
normal people.
Rows and rows of people. Just like,
you can't,
massive.
No.
Yeah, and so if Michael Jackson would have showed up, whole place just would have blown up.
Yeah, that's below his station.
But I thought that was funny.
It's not his venue.
But it was a really cool. It was a really cool show. I encourage everybody to go check it out if you're a big Michael Jackson fan. It's like most normal people don't really want to look at it. They're like, whatever.
Like, I'm down.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just look at the past, you know.
Right. I just love flashbacks and big hair.
There is one thing, and this is a story I was going to tell you the other day, that, you know, as I told you, we'll wait for the podcast to talk about it, is, and, okay, and then before I start talking about this, I just want to say this first off, that Michael has met a lot of people, okay, and everybody has a story about Michael. Everybody says that this happened or that happened, and there's no way to tell what stories are fake and which stories are true.
Mm-hmm.
The only people that know that are the people that were there. And, you know, I don't know if this person's lying. I don't know if Michael, you know, nobody knows who's telling the truth at what point, unless, you know, I don't know. Nobody knows. So what I'm going to start talking about, there's no way to tell if it's true or not. It's just some he said, she said stuff. I just find it interesting. You know, doing these podcasts, you want to have a little bit of insight to the background of things. And so, you know, I just want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So there's this girl named Terry Harden. Okay, she's apparently a puppeteer she was a puppeteer on Captain EO.
Right.
I read this blog that she put out talking about working with Michael and working on Captain EO, and also I guess she's putting out a book now recently.
Of course she is, yeah.
And I think a majority of it's talking about Michael and talking about their experiences on Captain EO, but it's also because she's done puppeteering for a lot of different things. And so I know it doesn't solely focus around Michael, but I'm sure, you know, I'm sure there's at least a chapter dedicated to it.
Probably.
Now, the thing was about this girl is, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Okay. I watched an interview about her. She doesn't look all there, okay?
Okay.
And it's like, that's just me being judgy, so
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, like, she's a puppeteer, so, I mean, that was her career goal.
Yeah.
I mean.
So, it might just be me being judgy, but I I personally, okay, let me just tell the story.
Everything. Phone rings, and a guy says, yo, Terry, you want to work with Michael Jackson? And really, guys, I don't listen to a lot of music, so I didn't know who he was, but I was like, yeah, that's okay. Okay, I'd like that, yeah. Would you like to work with George Lucas? I'm a Star Wars fan, so getting a little better. Or Francis Ford Coppola? Oh, I'll work for free. Because I was a big fan of Francis Ford Coppola and Godfather films. I'm one of these people that doesn't know in the beginning that it's a good thing, but I knew it wasn't bad. I was being paid, it was good. Now I play Idy and Odie. How did I get that? You'd love to say it was because I was talented, but the reason I originally got Idy and Odie was because the puppet weighed over 30 pounds and I was the only one who could lift it. So that's how I got it. I could not only lift it, but I could perform it. So that's how I got this character. Very heavy, two-headed bird character. Unbelievable. But it meant 2 weeks with Michael Jackson that turned into 6 months working side by side with Michael, which was just a dream come true. I may not have been a fan before, but I was definitely a fan after I got to know him. One day we were having lunch together, another great honor. I know you guys are like probably going, and I was happy about it, but to hear Michael Jackson say, Terry, I've missed you, is one of those things that I'm sure if you had met him acquaintance-wise, chances are he would have remembered it. Just,
what a memory.
Just amazing.
You also have a memory with Angelica Houston.
Angelica was something else. We sat down for the script reading of Captain EO, and Angelica was not friendly. And it was sad because I had been a fan of hers for some time. But when she sat there, originally in Captain EO, they had a princess. Because back then you had Billie Jean, you had Thriller for Michael, so they wanted to have this love interest, you know? And so they went casting for 2 weeks of the love interest. We had made over 30 costumes for this young lady to be the princess that Angelica Houston turned into as the witch. When she came, she announced that she was not going to just play the witch. She was also going to be the princess. And Francis Ford Coppola said, Queen, dear, you're a little old to play the princess. Queen, then.
Yeah, so her whole story, it's an interesting read, but I just don't think it's true.
Just
I think a little
sound
bit of
viable.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she gave herself so many more roles. It's like she was talking about like Michael would like ask her advice for things, and I'm like, I don't know about all that.
I doubt that.
You're puppeteering is like, it's, like you're not you, really doing anything. It's like, I mean, well, you are. It's like you
I
are
mean,
doing something. It's a good job.
You're doing something with your life. There you go.
Yeah.
You were probably involved in Labyrinth. Probably.
And,
I mean,
and
I
one know. Of the things that she said, and this is the one I was going to talk to you about, and that's because there's two conflicting stories, was about the interaction between Angelica Houston and Michael.
Then
Jackson.
We did improvisation. And certain people who are in the room now that remain nameless are doing improvisation as their character and see how they can think on their feet. It just sort of polishes them up a bit. So because I was a puppeteer for Idy and Odie, I really didn't have a character to do. So we were grouped with the people who wore the costumes of these characters. So we had this improvisation where, and if you haven't done it yet, you will, where each person or each group is given a secret. So there were all of the animal characters and puppeteers. We were a group. And then there was Michael Jackson. He was his own group. And then you had Angelica Houston. She was a separate group. Now Angelica's given a secret. Michael's given a secret. Then we're given a secret. And then Francis Ford Coppola says, and go. So our secret was we were not to behave, Michael, under any circumstances. As much as he asked us to behave, we were in a camp. That was the setting, camp, a little camp. And we were his kids that he was taking care of. And we were not to behave. Then Michael's secret was he had to make us behave in fear of getting fired. Angelica's secret was she was coming to fire him. So we were pulling on Michael and we're jumping, Michael, play with us, play with us. And we're rolling and we're climbing on the furniture and we're being really bad. And he's like, please, you have to be good. You don't want your counselor to be fired, do you? Don't do it, please. And then Angelica entered the room. And all of us went, and Michael went, and she walked over to Michael, because you know she's the supreme leader. So she walks over like this. She grabs Michael by the collar. She lifts him up off the ground and she puts him face to face. You insignificant little worm, you're fired. Now we're on a soundstage. Sound stages are slick. She throws him across the soundstage. He loses his balance and slides on his behind for about 10 feet. And stop, says Francis. We look over at Michael and he's like this. Michael, are you okay? And he never would go near Angelica Houston again.
Sounds like a very powerful presence.
He was terrified of her.
That's what she's saying. Okay, and then she goes in the part to where Angelica Houston got tired of being up on the thing. So in the shots where they were doing Michael, that Angelica Houston preferred that she did it and then had her go up in there and all the makeup. And
interesting.
Then, yeah, and then just do the shots with Michael.
He was so terrified of her that he would, I'm Captain EO, and I am your... Because he was so scared of her. So when I was in the outfit, we looked so much alike as the witch. He continued to do that with me. So I had to come down. But then I went over to Michael and I went, Michael Jackson! And he went, ah! And I said, it's Terry. Do you realize it's Terry inside here? And he's like, Terry? Yes. So now you can act so I can come down before Christmas. Okay? You gonna be Captain EO for me? You know it's me, it's not her. Okay? He goes, okay. So up we went, and that's the performance you see. Because a lot of the times you only see glimpses of me stunt doubling for her when you see the long shots. Mm-hmm. When you can recognize the witch, it's always Angelica. But I was there to help Michael, because we would still be there if it wasn't for that. So what a great experience for me, but more importantly, what a good thing for Michael, because what a performer.
We're not
what
sure how credible this is.
Yeah, and so that whole thing right there is like, for one, yeah, he had childish nature, but he wasn't an idiot, you know?
Right, and from what I've known and seen of Angelica Houston, like, I don't feel like she would do that.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't really go along with the point of the skit that you're talking about.
At all. No. And then to pick him up
and physically throw him, he's not that little.
Yeah, it's like the dude's 5'9", okay?
She's an Amazon, but not that much of an Amazon.
Yeah.
That she could just lift him up and throw him.
Now, there's a B-side to this, of course. The other, you know, two sides to every story. Well, that's... I haven't heard anybody else talk about that ever. Mm-hmm. Like, but Angelica Houston, when she was given memories of Michael Jackson, she said, you know, he was very warm, and it's like they got along really well. And,
right.
You know, of course, like she would say, you know, because she's not going to say, yeah, right. He was
what
scared of
say?
Me, you know.
Yeah.
But she said that the last time she saw him was, like, I think it was just maybe a year before he died or close to when he died. And they, I guess, they have the same dermatologist. Now, that makes more sense to me, you know?
That seems a little more credible.
Because Michael Jackson had really bad acne.
Yeah.
And so he was at the dermatologist's office, and actually, I think it was right close to the most recent child molestation allegations, and he had just lost Neverland Ranch. And he was telling her about it. He's like, yeah, he was real upset about it. And, you know, she was, of course, she said she never believed it, and blah, blah, and he was such a nice guy. And so, and from that is like, it just didn't, and they gave hugs and everything. Doesn't
right.
seem like a guy that's been scared of her, you know, and all that stuff. So that was just a story. That's just, you know, that's what I heard. I personally don't believe it. And I think
I don't buy it.
Now we watched the making of Captain EO, and, the part that I thought was crazy was, you know, as much planning as they did, Michael Jackson got hit in the face with that whip.
God, that was... I want to say great, but I know I shouldn't.
I felt so bad for him.
Because he became a real person when that happened.
Yeah. And it is true.
Because like I was watching that blooper, and you just see him grab his face.
He's like,
and
oh.
just go down.
He's like, son of a...
Like, I feel like he grabs his face and goes, God damn it, Hooter!
Hooter!
He's like, Hooter!
Hooter!
Damn it!
That's how I saw that. But, like, could you imagine being that dancer? Like, I just whipped Michael Jackson in the face.
Oh, no. You know what I'd do? I would do
I'd
like
die.
I would just like pull out a gun, boom,
be like,
right
yeah,
in the head.
No, done.
Like, yeah.
I can't live. With this.
I can't be the person that whipped Michael
Jackson.
How
does that person sleep at night?
Oh, they don't. They don't.
Like, I want to find them and be like, how do you sleep at night?
They're like,
and they'll
I
be like,
slept
I
in
don't.
74 years or I don't know, I haven't been that long.
I can't even look at whipped cream without busting into tears. Yeah, that blooper was amazing.
Yeah. So there's two songs that are featured on Captain EO. The first one is We Are Here to Change the World, and then the second one is Another Part of Me. Why am I saying it like that?
Because why not? Basically, right. We Are Here to Change the World. I call that like the fight scene song.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's how he's bringing said light and spirit fingers, because sparklers come out of his fingers.
Of course, yeah.
That's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, mine too. It's real subtle, but it's real dope.
Spirit fingers. And then, yeah, so basically they use that song to bring light back to the planet. And, you know, he's changing all the soldiers into straight up 80s backup dancers with the giant Rob Lowe hair.
Oh, yeah.
And that song. Had something and totally lost it.
We Are Here to Change the World. It was written and composed by Michael Jackson. It was part of Captain EO, but it was never released until 2004 on the Michael Jackson Ultimate Collection box set. But yeah, so that's the first time that We Are Here to Change the World was actually released. But you know, it was first on Captain EO.
Right.
Also, Another Part of Me, which is an amazing song. So,
like we already said, that's in my top favorite Michael Jackson song. It's probably the most played song on my phone right now. You're just another part of me.
And it was, as everybody knows, released on Bad. It was released on the Bad album. He was actually working on it during Captain EO. And then just decided, hey, you know, I'm still not sure if he... I have a feeling that he was creating it for Captain EO and then just liked it so much he put it on Bad. Because Bad came out 2 years later.
Right.
So I think it was just one of those things where he just really liked that song. Because the whole theme of the song is, you know, coming to a planet, you know, it's like, we're not dangerous, you know, and all that stuff. So I have a feeling he wrote it for Captain EO. And then
I love that song.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Those are the two songs. Yeah.
I am Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Damn it.
You did it.
I go, yeah.
I am Lord. Yeah.
All right. Now, see, I always like to see who did, like, covers of songs and who remixed them or whatever. And weird enough, We Are Here to Change the World, since it was never really released, people didn't really, you know, cover it much. But it did get covered by an R&B singer named Denise Williams. She covered it on her album As Good As It Gets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's Here For The Boys.
I feel like, yeah, I was going to say.
Here For The Boys is her single.
I feel like I recognize that name. So basically, Footloose. It's one of the best scenes in that entire movie was her.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
But yeah, that's Captain EO. Unfortunately, it has closed as of now in Disneyland. Disney World, Disneyland Paris, and Tokyo Disneyland.
Tokyo.
So it's closed now, but you know, hopefully one of these days hopefully around his around the time he died or his birthday
anniversary.
They'll bring it back up. You never know.
We could just do our petition plan.
We'll do the
tell
petition
them
plan.
That us two people are going to boycott the entire park.
We're not going to give you our $150.
No.
Once a year.
We're not going to buy that $5-$6 churro.
Not gonna happen.
The $8 corn dog. No, not until you bring back Captain EO.
But Captain EO was an amazing thing. It was very fantastic, especially for its time, and just the amount of amazing people that worked on it, and You know, it was a spectacle to see. You know, it had all these really cool in theater effects. I guess I should have mentioned that at the beginning.
Yeah,
it had lights and lasers and
spirit fingers. And
yeah, when you saw it, it had a star field that would light up the whole thing. But they took that out when they did Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Yeah,
and didn't bring it back because I guess it just, you know,
it was too much work.
They didn't think they were gonna have it run that long.
Yeah, they weren't planning on it.
So yeah, Captain EO was amazing. It's sad that it's gone again, but you know.
You can find it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
And pretty decent quality, totally worth watching. And again, it's only 17 minutes long.
I'm sure, like, you can probably find bootlegs on eBay or something.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely. I have found them, but I wasn't willing to pay the money.
Yeah, it's probably
They still wanted, like, $25.
Yeah,
and
that's a little ridiculous.
For something that's bootleg.
Well, I guess, I'm going to say thanks to Kristen for coming through, Lil Barteezy coming through and doing
Lil
this.
Lil Barteezy. Holding it down.
Doing this podcast with me. You know, we'll probably bring her in for another one. Maybe
it's possible.
In the day, so that way.
And as long as there's more beer provided.
Oh, of course.
I'm down. I've already got some more ideas in my head right now. So.
Well, we will make it happen. Well, thank you once again for listening to Moonwalk Talks. Once again, my name is Jenkins. You can check me out at jenkins.net. That's where you can listen to some of my music if you feel like it. I do rap music, kind of. And also follow me on Twitter at WhoJenkins on Twitter. Also, if you want to follow the Moonwalk Talks podcast on Twitter, it's at Moonwalk Talks. I'm going to do a couple more episodes, then we're going to try to put that stuff on iTunes. For right now, it's only available at jenkins.net and on a certain... I forgot what the podcast site is. Doesn't matter. It will be on iTunes after a couple more episodes. So yeah, thank you again for listening, and don't forget to smile. Later.
Bye, people.